This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. Let's shift to the FBM KLCI because the 1600 psychological level seems further from reach as we head into the second half of the year. So why has the Malaysian equity market been one of the worst performing indices in this region?
And should this actually be a buying opportunity? And what investment strategy is best in these volatile markets?
All questions we will ask Koh Huat Soon, who is the head of research at Kenanga Investment Bank. Thanks for speaking to us again, Huat Soon. Now, what are your current expectations for corporate earnings in the second half of the year, especially with this current EMCO that Selangor and parts of KL are in, which is compounded by the uncertainty over when Malaysia can finally transition to phase four of the National Recovery Plan?
Yeah, hi, morning, Xiaoning. What we've done is that, you know, in response to the National Recovery Plan that was announced in mid-June, and the MCO thereafter, we've taken down our earnings estimate for 2021. And so stocks like, you know, those that are more directly affected, like Genting, Genting Malaysia, we've taken down on the basis that, you know, the closures would be longer than what we had initially expected. And also other sectors like constructions, whose activities will be disrupted by the lockdowns. And also REITs, we've also reduced earnings on that sector as well. So overall, I think second quarter and into the third quarter are going to be a very challenging period for corporate Malaysia. But if you step away a bit and look at the full year, you're actually expecting quite a good rebound. In fact, 40% rebound from 2020. We had not too bad a Q1, and we're going to go through some headwinds in Q2 and Q3, but we are penciling in quite a optimistic projection, if you like, in the fourth quarter on the basis that, you know, this spread that we're facing can be contained probably, you know, towards the end of this quarter. So some normalization of activity should return by then. And so, yeah. So in a nutshell, that's how it looks like in terms of earnings expectations.
Can you give us Can you give us a sense of how COVID rates and in vaccinations is factored into your rebound?
We basically think that this vaccinations, I think, is taking place at a rate of about 200,000-300,000 a day, will lead to greater immunity amongst the population. And so, you know, we believe that by sometime in the third quarter, end of this quarter or the early part of next quarter, there should be sufficient defense against the spread. So we should see, you know, spreads coming down. Hopefully, the benchmark set by the Prime Minister was about 4,000. So, you know, we might be, hopefully we'll be headed towards that that level.
And yeah. What other risks do you see that might derail the economic recovery? And are they coming more domestic or external factors?
Yeah, I think there are several risks that we should be aware of. I think in terms of the external side, I put inflation and Fed taper as one. I mean, I think inflation is emerging. Not so worrying we at the moment, but it's something to watch out for. If it does, rise at a more rapid pace and higher than, you know, the Fed might be prompted to act sooner than expected. And also, when the Fed, the taper does happen, then there's an impact of reversal of flows into, you know, emerging markets, for example, to worry about. In terms of domestic, I would say, hopefully the spread can be contained by the time I mentioned. But if not, then things will look pretty dire. The other thing has to do with the concerns of a weakening fiscal balance sheet, you know, at the rate we're spending. This is a necessary stuff, right? I mean, we've put in about injecting about 81 billion through the packages, 8 packages that have been announced since the crisis started. So in terms of debt to GDP ratio, the statutory debt to GDP, I think, is closing in on 60%. So, that's kind of worrying. And I think the narrative going into next year would be the need for fiscal consolidation. So would it mean less government spending and even talk of higher taxes? So that's another risk to worry about another day. But these are basically, yeah.
So do you see Bank Negara cutting the OPR rate later today, though?
Not today. I don't think it'll be today. If there's going to be a cut this year, no, I don't think so. Okay, the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, the vaccinations is taking place now, right? It's been accelerated. And I think if all goes well, then a positive impact should be seen by the time they meet in September.
So I
think the bank will probably wait and see. And then only if in the unlikely event that we don't see an improvement by September, then that will be the appropriate time to cut rates. But not today, I don't think so.
So nonetheless, what kind of teams do you see emerging in the second half that provide investment opportunities for us?
We've got four themes. The first one is economic reopening. Again, it's on the basis that, you know, things will look much better in the fourth quarter onwards. And the second one would be exports. I think we're seeing very encouraging external demand thanks to very robust recovery in our major trading partners, China and US. And also there's a secular growth demand in the tech space. So that's very good for us, the tech sector especially. And the third one would be proliferation of digital payments. I think that's very exciting. I think the adoption of e-payments has been given a great push. If there's anything positive about COVID-19, it will be, you know, the rapid adoption of e-payments. And the last one would be ESG. We think that in this challenging environment, ESG good companies will outperform. Yeah, so those are the four themes that we are recommending.
So, Huatsun, what are your top picks?
Top picks would be, okay, for each team, let's say if economic reopening, I think Gamuda is what we like. You know, it's being held back a bit by disruptions of work and so slow progress billings and so forth. But I think there are catalysts in the near term. MRT3 should be, the tender should be out, delayed a bit, but it should be out by the end of the year. They're starting work in Penang South Island reclamation also in the fourth quarter. You know, so he's got the balance sheet to help develop those infrastructure that the government needs. Genting for reopening, Pardini and the REITs, of course. I think these are the direct beneficiaries of reopening. E-payment would be GHL. I think GHL is our largest e-payment gateway service operator. Growth is amazing. High multiple, but it's still deserved for some upside there. We've got exports. This would be where the tech space is. We like DNO for exposure to the recovering automotive markets on the demand side. And we've got plastic packet manufacturers as well, SCGM and Tongguan. A large part of their products is actually exported. And sorry, I forgot Inari. Inari is a play on 5G demand because of the new cell phone launches that requires radio frequency modules that they do. And finally, ESG, we like Maybank and SCGM in that space.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Koh Huat Soon, head of research at Kenanga Investment Bank, giving us the four themes that Kenanga is looking at this year and the many names that many names that are the top picks that they are looking at.
Diverse names.
Gamuda, Genting, Pardini,
Inari,
the REITs, Inari, GHL, is it?
Yes, GHL,
and Maybank, DNO, a long list of names. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.